KD2 is at CRB. This is W2JEK. And were you here for the TechNet?
Yes, I am here for the TechNet. I was just wondering, are we having it tonight? Back to you.
This is W2JEK. I don't know what happened. Jim just said that Gordon is on his way to Connecticut. I don't know. I'm not much of an expert on things, but let's see. Let me see. I'll track you down. What is your name, and do you have any questions or anything? Over.
Okay, this is KD2CRB. Name is Stu, New Milford. Just a brief question, and perhaps we'll get to it if anybody else comes on. Back to you.
This is W2JEK. If anybody else... let's start. Anybody with an A call, this is W2JEK, acting net control.
It's KD2DKQ, over.
D2DKQ, okay. Your name, and do you have any questions, comments, or none of the above?
Kenny Newport, my name, Tenify, and I just got my license, so I got lots of questions. I'm going to be working here in an hour.
Okay, Billy, good to hear you got your license, because I've been checking up on things. Sometimes my computer gets stuck in a rut and keeps telling me the same old thing. I did call the ARRL about it, Billy, so congratulations, I played you around the air. Anybody else out there with for the TechNet? Over.
K2AMI listening on 79.
9-5-5. 7-9, W2JEK. I'm going to run a brief tech net here. Do you have any questions or comments?
Just, Don, you might review the Barra meeting schedule being next, the following week. This is Super Bowl, next week is the Barra meeting. Just a little Barra information, that's all. Nothing else.
Okay, I'll do that when I get everybody assembled. Okay. Anybody else for the Barra TechNet? This is Whiskey 2, Juliet Echo Kilo, standing by.
Kilo Charlie 2, Victor Romeo Yankee, over.
KC2VIY, do you have any questions or comments?
Negative, just go right listening, over.
Okay, very good. Anybody else for the TechNet? This is Whiskey 2, Juliet Echo Kilo. Okay, one more call for the TechNet. Anybody out there want to participate in the TechNet, even if you just want to listen, please let me know you're there. We might need you for your advice. This is Whiskey 2 Juliet Echo Kilo, standing by.
Whiskey 2 Juliet Charlie, I'm sitting here listening. Over.
Okay, Jim, W2JC, very good. Anybody else for want to listen for the TechNet? This is Whiskey 2 Juliet Echo Kilo. Acting TechNet for K2VAR, standing by. Okay, well, I had an announcement there that the Barra meeting will be on February 10th, which will be the second Sunday of the month. Usually we have it on the first, but because of the Super Bowl, the executive committee, I presume, moved it to the 10th of the month. So our meeting will be on the 10th of the month. And with that, Jim, KC2VAR, your BCFMA meeting, now that is when? Is that the 17th, over?
That's affirmative. The 17th of February, it's going to be at the Fairlawn Senior Center, where Fairlawn has their auction every year. It'll be held there. We couldn't get the Red Cross building this year. Over.
Okay, Jim, very good on the the VCFM FMA meeting on the 17th of the Fallon Senior Center, 11th and Gardner Streets, I think, is the intersection there. So that's another event coming up there, and it's not VARA, but a lot of people who are in VARA are members of the VCFMA. Okay, next one, Stu had a question. KD2CRB, go ahead with your question.
Okay, I was able to pick up a original equipment manufacturing microphone for my handheld, the CYT. I just wanted to ask how am I sounding? Just absolutely horrible. But someone told me you could put the original manufacturing mic. You might sound better. Back to that.
Okay, well, my opinion says you sounded pretty good there, Stowe. Having the microphone made for the radio, not just so because it's got the manufacturer's nameplate on it, but because it might have the right impedance or the whatever that might have the better output or whatever than the some of the aftermarket products too. But yeah, you're doing fine with that. Yeah, that's fine. Does anybody else have any want to comment on that? This is W2JEK. Okay, it sounds good to me then. Anything further, Albert?
Oh, great. Well, thanks very much. The aftermarket that I picked up with this radio originally was horrible. So, okay, just off the phone. Thank you very much. Back to Ned.
Okay, Rick, good still. Right now, anybody else wish to check into the Baratechnet? This is Whiskey 2 Juliet Echo Kilo, standing by.
This is W2LCN. My name is Rick with a question.
Okay, Rick, W2LCN with a question. You're right, we'll put you on the list. And anybody else wishing to check in? Over. Okay, Billy KD2DKQ was just passed his test at the January 18th test session. So, congratulations on getting your license there, Billy. And you said you had a few questions, and we'll listen for them and start with your first one. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I bought a cell phone UV fiber plus, like handheld, which is what I'm using now. But once I pass my general, which I'm hoping to do in the middle of February, I'm wondering, like, for a HF transceiver, should I just get a straight HF one, or should I get a multiband one to start over?
Well, you say, should you get a straight HF transceiver or one that's a multiband? A couple different things you got to consider. There's a certain, like, ICOM makes a model 718, which is strictly HF. 160 meters through 10 meters. Does not have the 6 meter band or any of the 2 meters or 440. Now, there are radios out there that have the HF bands plus 6 meters. There's quite a number of them. And then there are other radios that have HF plus the 6 meters, 2 meters, and 440. And again, part of it is price. And The other extreme is if you want to use those radios, want to use those bands later on, you'd have to go out and buy another radio. But maybe at this time you'd rather just stay with a straight HF radio. So you're going to have to decide on that. Also, issue with the HF with those radios, so you can use sideband and you can use. You can put up a beam antenna and all that kind of stuff too. So that sort of figures in the equation. In HF, you can usually get away with a wire antenna like a G5RV, which is a fairly simple device. That's an expensive but when you get into the VHF, you might want to have a more aggressive antenna system. It's up, again, that's, don't have to have it. I mean, I've done a lot of fun on 6 meters with a 10-watt transverter and a dipole, but there's a lot of thoughts on that. Anybody else have some thoughts on this? This is W2JK.
N1STU disconnected.
Very well. Anyway, something to think about. See what's out there, and think about what type of antennas system you're going to have. But you know, 6 meter band's a lot of fun when it's open, and there are contests on it. Also, 2 meters and the 2 meter radios. Of course, you can use that as an F. I believe most of these HF radios also have the FM ability. And again, not saying the full, so they have the 440. So, you know, I guess in a lot of ways you say it depends what you, how much you want to buy at one time. If you're really not interested in the VHF, maybe just an HF only rig would be more to your liking. But in the days to come, when you want to try 6 meters, that's where I am here. I use a transverter to get from the HF rig into a 6 meters. So that's one way of going about it. But it's nice to have it all in one package. So you've got to check out what your situation is. Back to you, Billy. W2JK.
Hey,
ZKQ.
Yeah.
Looking
at the chart, this is a quality ICOM 7000 or a Yaesu 897G. It's supposed to be portable kind of thing, but they're variable multi-band, about $1,000-ish. And like, you can get an antenna and all, just put $1,000 on the Yaesu.
Yeah, well, those are good radios, and a lot of the fellows are using them. I'm not personally familiar with either one of them, but that thing is, like I said, though, if you get the one of them, they do have the HF and the UHF and the VHF on them. So 6 meters, 2 meters, and 440. So you get a lot of bands covered there, and otherwise you have to try if you wanted to get on them later on, then you'd have to get that kind of a radio anyhow. So spend a little more now, and maybe then you'd be able to have the equipment you need right away. Did you have any other questions, Albert?
No, that's fine. I'll have
the back to you now. Anybody have any thoughts for Billy? Billy just got his license, so looking to buy a rig here, so looking to get in the HF bands with a for the general, I guess, next VE session, which will be on February 15th, post, which is at 7 o'clock at the high school. So, anybody have any thoughts for Billy on that, over?
So, this is JC. Are you going to comment on his audio here?
Both in Tenafly, and he's using a handheld, I believe. So it is a little weak. I'll admit to that. I didn't make comment on it because I knew that he's using a handheld. But maybe in a different location where you are. I don't know just whereabouts you are, Billy, but you are a little weak into the repeater. Over.
Yeah, I expected that. It's all over the radio, like $50.
Yeah, you sound a little better now. Sometimes you just move around a little bit and you get a find a sweet spot in your house, but you get it better into the repeater. I was pretty good that time. So, talk up a little closer, maybe make it a little help a little too. So. Yeah. Okay. Okay, do you have any other questions, sir?
No, thank God. No, this time.
Okay, very good. Is there anybody else wish to check in at this time for the Barra Technet? This is W2JEK, Net Control, standing by. Hey, Rick, W2LCN, you said you had a question. What do you have? Over.
Okay, this is Rick, W2LCN. The question I have, it's going back to that off-center fed dipole. The more I dig into trying to do this, the more I start to turn up questions that I don't know the answer to. And we were talking about using twin lead 300 ohm wire that they have at Radio Shack. It's about $18 for 100 feet. And I noticed on there it said it was antenna wire. And it just dawned on me while I was looking at it, the wires were very thin. And all of a sudden I said, wait a minute, it's throwing up some alarms. I know that the antenna, it recommended using a 12 or a 14 gauge wire, but I'm looking at the antenna and thinking this is far from 12, it's probably closer to a 20 gauge wire or a 22. And I'm wondering why can we feed, now I'm only going up to 100 watts, but why are we feeding it with something so thin and then the wire of the antenna has to be so heavy? And I don't know the answer. I think it may have to do with the weight of the antenna more than anything else, but I was wondering if somebody can share some information on that and just get me unconfused here. I'll send it back to Ned. This is W2LPN.
Hi, this is W2JEK. Yeah, well, one thing, the wire itself for the antenna wire itself would be like a 14-gauge or a 12-gauge because that's going to support the weight of the feed line. So that has to be fairly strong. The feed line itself, all right, you're using 300 ohm twin lead. Yeah, that would work, I guess. Twin lead isn't that heavy. I mean, but I know what Jim Joyce was doing was using 300 ohm transmitting twin lead, which was available at a place called Radio Works. You'll see them advertised in QST. And that is ladder line. It's not. It doesn't have the solid dielectric between the wires, and it has openings in the spaces in between, like the 450 ohm ladder line. Now, that's what he recommends. But or if you can't get that, then the 450 ohm ladder line. That shows you a little heavier duty stuff, and. I made up one of these antennas. I used it a portable day. It didn't work for me because I had a problem with my tuner. But I think that I'm using regular twin lead, which is all right for portable day. But the problem with that twin lead is in the rain, it gets wet and it detunes. So you want to use something like a ladder line, either the 300 or the 450 ohm. The antenna. Now, if you're using a ballon up there in coax, and a ballon on the right at the up on the antenna, I think they have a 4-to-1 ballon or something like that. Then you'd have to, or 6-to-1 or whatever. They'd have to use a. Then you're going to have a coax there, and then you're going to have more weight on it to contend with. Back to you, Bill. Back to you, Rick.
Okay, Don. So I think I see what we're doing here. I'm not going to have this ballon, the 4-to-1 current ballon, and the twin lead wire. I didn't realize there was a difference between transmitting twin lead and just the standard twin lead I saw over there. I'm going to have that ballon hanging from a fixed point. I put up a mast on the side of the house that's it's only up at about 27 feet, but it has a pulley on there designed to support everything. So I guess I could go with a narrower gauge wire rather than the 10 or the 12. It's going to run about 90 feet. I'm not going to, but I guess in theory I could use a narrower wire. So it more has to do with the physics of holding the weight of the antenna up if it were a like a dipole. But No, that helped me out considerably. So now I know a little bit more about it. But who was the gentleman you said had the twin lead transmitting wire? I think you said, was it the wire guy or the wire guide? I'll send it back over to you.
Radio Works. His name is Radio Works. I believe he has that. If you went to the 450 ohm, you could probably get that from Gene or AJI or Advanced Specialties probably might have that here, you know. But the actually, like I said, the only difference in the 300 ohm twin lead that I, well, of course I'm using Q, I'd be using with QFP, but the 300 ohm twin lead would probably be all right for the 100 watts. But again, I'd say it detunes with wet weather. Also, it's thinner and less. And you're going to be find out you might have breakage problems with that from the wind, you know. So that's why you try to use a something little more robust in its strength. Back to you.
2AMI.
That's right.
Can I just interject that that 300 ohm twin lead that you're buying at Radio Shack is generally designed for receiving purposes only. You use it on your TV antenna, you know, to feed down microvolts of electricity, and there's no IR loss in the thinness of a 20 gauge wire to worry about with microvolts of energy coming down. But if you use that thin gauge wire over a longer length, you're going to have an IR loss involved in the matter with that thinner gauge. Remember, the thicker the gauge of the wire, the less IR drop, voltage drop you have going to your antenna. So try to get a heavier gauge wire, even at 100 watts. Not the 20 gauge wire is not acceptable for any great distance. I have picked up a twin lead locally here at Advanced Specialties in Lodi. He has a fairly good quality, but Gene would have even a better quality. And there's actually twin lead made that has a steel wire with copper coated, and that's very expensive. You don't have to go to that. Just generally, you're only starting with an antenna. This may be your first one, and you'll be changing antennas over the years. So don't think long term with antennas. They always seem to be an evolution. So, but don't use the Radio Shack TV lead-in wire.
Okay, that sounds terrific. You know, I knew I'd get the answer, and I knew I shouldn't jump into any of this. But so a lot of this has to do with weight and durability, and apparently the twin lead 450 that's available, Advanced Specialties, things like that, are a heavier gauge, and that sounds like what I need. I looked at the wire at the Radio Shack, and it was for the antenna, and I said this doesn't seem right, and. Thank you very much, guys. That clarifies a lot of information about it, so I'm a little more comfortable, at least with that part of it. I still have to work out the balance and putting one of those together, but I guess that'll be my next step, and first I'll look to get this wire. Thank you very much, guys. I'll send it back over to W2JEK. This is W2LCN.
Okay, Rick. Yeah, very good. Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's mechanical strength. You don't want to be having a problem with a thin wire breaking up there on your antenna. You have to place the thing down right in the middle of when you want it to be working, and it, you know, on a snowy day with sleet and rain coming down, usually that's the time it happens. So, yeah, you'd want something robust physically. You know, I said, they do make a 300 ohm twin lead for transmitting and also 450 ohm for transmitting. I think Jim Joyce was using 300 ohm, but probably got away with the 400 ohm too. But I'm glad your time on this. It's a lot of cold weather out there right now. Anyway, anybody else wish to comment on this? Over.
2AMI again on the ladder line.
That's it.
It's not going to make a darn bit of difference in your antenna whether you use the 450 ohm. It's like almost an inch wide, or the 300 ohm transmitting wire, which is not available locally. So go with the 450 ohm ladder line. It's available, and the antenna will be just as happy. I use that ant wire, and it works very well. There are different combinations that you can use. On that 40-meter off-center fit antenna, I don't use ladder line. I run a coax cable down from the center point at a particular engineered length. I forgot the exact length of it, but that length of coax coming down from the bell, and again, it's not a bell. In my case, it's a 4-to-1 transformer. I have a series of ferrite beads on the coax in order to prevent RF from going down beyond the end of the, that antenna length, that vertical coaxial length. Study the different designs. There's a world of information on the internet on many different opinions, many different designs. And you don't have to use ladder line. You can use coax. It'll work also.
That sounds pretty good. This is just you cleared up a tremendous amount of information right there, because I was worried. I see 450 available everywhere, and it's not going to bother me how it looks. I'd rather get something that's kind of durable. I have a question with a Balun. It sounds simple enough to make. I found all sorts of variations for things, but I pulled a toroid that was, it looks like a T-130 toroid, an iron powder core toroid. That's what I've been able to figure out roughly by looking at the dimensions and the color coding and things like that. How difficult is it to make a Balun for something like this, a 4-to-1 current Balun?
And if I can pick it up, I don't have those specs in my head. I know they have built them at Kitnite. You just need a decent quality wire to wind in and out of the Balun, and use a 4-to-1 ratio on the turns. And again, amazing what Google will tell you about it, or internet. So don't be hesitant to try to research it there or on any of the antenna sites. Jim K2ZO is an expert on this antenna and could give you verbally exactly what you need. And of course, at Kitnite, we would show you how to do it if you bring your wires and your balance and the cord bound that you want and the wire that you want to use on it. Now, the guys have been looking for some very good insulated wire, which is called Teflon coated, but it's generally at least a 14 gauge, maybe even a higher gauge wire that's wound on that core, and it's a 4-to-1 ratio of input to output. So they're available. They run anywhere from $40 up. I bought one at a flea market and made up a very nice enclosure to enclose the transformer out of PVC pipe. But there are other sources, and you can make them up easily. Have you ever been to our Barra Kit Night on Tuesday nights over at the Westwood High School? These are great questions for Jim, and he's almost always there on those Tuesday nights and could help you with it. Let me turn it back to Ned. Pick it up, Don.
Okay, yes, very good, Tony and Henry. Especially bring the equipment, find out what you have to do, too. And if Jim is there, I mean, he's really an antenna guru that would be able to help you out quite a bit. And you were talking, this was an off-center fed dipole, so that's fed about one-third off-center. I forget what the dimensions are. How were you putting a large 80-meter dipole, or are you putting something smaller, Rick, over to you?
I am going to be putting an 80-meter dipole up in an inverted V configuration. I think that's it. It's an 80-meter off-center fed dipole in an inverted V configuration. Thank you. I think it was K2ZO for answering that question. My next thing was going to be, when is the kid night? Because I think I have everything here except for the Teflon coated wire, but I have standard wire. But it sounds like I can put this together and make it work, and you know, I'll change it as I need to. But maybe what I'll do is I'll come down to kid night over by you guys and just spend a little time seeing what the practical side of actually putting this together the right way is. But that you're going to be an 80-meter off-center fed dipole. That way I get out onto 80 meters, hopefully down to 6. My tuner won't touch the 80 and won't touch the 6 right now with a 40-meter dipole that I have. So I'm looking to open up that bandwidth a little bit more so I can get on a few more bands. And basically just, I'd like to go for a couple of awards down the road, and I want to get set up for it. Anyway, this is W2LCN. I'll send it back to Net.
Okay, Rick, very good. Yeah, well, the kit night is held at the Westwood Regional High School, the Township of Washington, on Tuesday nights about 7 o'clock. And we go in there in classroom number 114. If you've been to our flea markets, you know, there was a building where the parking lot is. It's the parking, the door on the side of the building that faces the parking lot, not the one in the back that faces the street. So you use the door on the side of the building that faces that parking lot where the ham fest is. Have you been to our ham fest, over?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I know the place pretty well. I actually they had a job opening a while back that I went up to learn a little bit more about a year and a half ago. But now I'm very familiar with it, and I know the area from the Barra auctions and things that you guys have done over there. So I will try and get over there. I might even be able to get there this Tuesday if everything works out well. But thank you. You guys are always a wealth of information. I know there was another gentleman who just picked up his ticket. And I've got to say, I think every Thursday night since I've gotten my ticket, whether I've been able to check in or not, I've been able to listen. And I always pick up something great from you guys. So thank you. I'll send it back over to you.
Okay, Rick. Very good. All right. Anybody else wishing to check in to the net right now? This is W2JEK. Okay, well, I guess that's about it. You know, the check-ins. Anybody else have anything at all for the net? Over.
Don, this is Sue. Back with a comment.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was took a day off today. I ran down to KGI, and that was Gene. Gene's packing up. When I got in there, he's packing up. He's going to a ham fest down in Virginia. So what I'm trying to say is, I don't think the store will be open this weekend. I just want to say somebody trip down there. Maybe you want to call ahead if you do want to get stuff. But he's leaving tomorrow morning. And I guess he'll be back by Monday. Back to net.
Okay, because for that information, Rick, and yeah, it's a good idea to call. And I do know he does go around a lot of ham fests. And yeah, it's a good thing to call. I don't know whether he has the people who work there too at the store as well. He's at a ham fest. I don't know just what his setup is, but good idea to call. Thank you. Any other comments about that? Over. Okay. Well, so far we had a good night here, and again I repeat that the Barra meeting will be on the 10th of this month, not the first Sunday, but the second Sunday, because we're staying home for the Super Bowl, I guess. Bergen County FM Association meeting will be that following Sunday on the 17th at the Senior Center in Fairlawn at the intersection of 11th Street and Gardner Avenue. And with that, I will, one more time, ask for any check-ins or any comments before I close.
Yeah, get up on the mic.
I'm
just wondering,
with the
guidance antenna,
are you going to combine the 14-meter and the 8-meter together in a multi-band single antenna, or are you going to make it one?
I think you're going to make one antenna that's going to be for all bands. If I'm right about that, Rick, it's going to be just one antenna. You're not going to... Or are you just going to add on wire to the existing 40-meter antenna?
No, I'm going to cut that. I'm going to take that one wire down, a 40-meter dipole, and I'm going to put up a straight, brand new piece of wire. I think it runs out about 90 feet in one direction and 45 feet in the other direction. I should be able to to get that into my yard from corner to corner. I got a couple of anchor points that are up high enough, but it's going to be a brand new antenna. I picked up some wire off Craigslist, 14 gauge, both solid strand and or solid end strand, and I'm just going to try and run a brand new wire, and that way I have two of them. One's my 40-meter dipole, and the other one will be a 80-meter off-center fit dipole to cover just about everything that I can. Back to you.
Very good. Was your 40-meter dipole, was that an off-center fit, or was that the center fit? Over.
No, that was a center fit that they had built up at one of the Bergen fields. Ham radio event. Gordon had actually put that together. That was the first one that I used to get on here, and I quickly found that I could fit another one, but I have a lot more room for a bigger antenna that will allow me to get to 80 meters. I think it'll be more effective than the way I have this 40-meter dipole set up, but it's just a straight 40-meter dipole split in half, 32 by 32, something like that.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Yeah, well, I have a 40-meter dipole and something like that, but it also works for me on 15 meters, but, in that respect, it's a two-band antenna, but, matter of fact, I have used it on 6 meters, but, I don't know if you've tried that yet or not, but, it does have a reasonable SWR. Well, these are things you got to try. I mean, your antenna might not work like mine because I'm in a different situation than you are. That's one of the things. All these pictures in the book show that an antenna stretched between two great big masts is half a wave off the ground, and that's not the way things are in real life in most cases. At any rate, any other comments before we close up? This is W2JK. Okay, well, I say 73 to everybody, and thank you for coming, and hope to catch you all next week, and see some of you at the Barra meeting, and again to Billy, congratulations on the license. This is W2JEK, and returning at the computer to normal operation. ¶¶